Chapter 50
Gringo stood under the shower and let the almost scalding water drill into his face. They had eventually got back to Bunny's place at 1 in the morning. Having developed a new appreciation for the level of commitment the criminal fraternity had shown to bury so many bodies in the Wicklow Mountains over the years. Even in the soft ground, digging a hole 8 feet deep had taken a lot of time. He also now understood what the phrase dead weight meant. If he ever had to do it again, he would make sure that the dead bodies walked themselves to the hole before being relieved of their mortal coils. They had been careful to cover the ground with leaves, and the winter weather should do the rest. By the time the summer ramblers returned, they would have no idea what they were walking on. Gringo was clear on the why and what of the things they had done, but the who had been one last nasty surprise. The big fella, Frock, had been carrying no ID on him. Lopez, however, had. A card in his wallet identified him as an FBI agent called Daniel Zayas. Gringo had tried to make the case that it might be fake, but neither of them had been convinced. That was only going to be bad news. Gringo had slipped the wallet into his coat pocket. He was going to dump it somewhere later on. That was what he told himself. Both he and Bunny knew that to make the bodies harder to identify, they could remove teeth and destroy the fingerprints. They never directly discussed it, both knowing that, somehow, that would feel like crossing a line too far. Later that night, they had added to their growing list of criminal misdeeds. Bunny drove Frock's Audi to just off Gardiner Street and left the keys in the ignition. By now, nature would have taken its course. It would either be in pieces or an entirely different colour with an entirely different number plate. Overall, Gringo was surprised by how he felt about the whole thing. Or rather, how he didn't feel. Numb. That was the word. Two men who would have killed them, and in fact had intended to, judging by their grave-digging kit, were dead. And he and Bunny had disposed of their bodies. Gringo had killed one of them. A few weeks ago, that would have seemed an unconscionable act. But that was a whole other life now. The one positive in so comprehensively messing his life up was that it had provided a wonderful clarity. You don't notice the pinpricks when there's a large sword dangling over your head. He had been drowning in debt. The cards had started out as a hobby, a bit of excitement to liven up his week, some escapism to temporarily free him from the crumbling ruins of his marriage. Then the worst thing that could happen happened. He had won. Suddenly, he could afford to cover the cost of his mother's extortionately priced care home, and his bills from the divorce, and still have a bit left over. Life was good. It was that simplest of traps. When you won, it was skill, and when you lost, well, it was just a temporary run of bad luck. His addiction had been an invisible, odourless gas. And he had been too stupid to realize that his downfall had been softly whispering into the world around him. Still, right now, he didn't give two shits for a couple of psychos who could and would have killed him, Bunny, and Simone, given half the chance. Maybe that would change. But he doubted it. No. The ghost that haunted his dreams was that of Dara O'Shea. Gringo still didn't know how, but Jessica Cunningham had broken Franco Doyle, and he was willing to give them everything. Once they'd decided they needed some help, they had then carefully approached Gringo. They had known all about his debt, how bad it was, everything. They told him they could make it go away in the short term, and he could make a whole lot more in the long term. Gringo's back ached. His side was a rather spectacular collage of purples, browns and blacks, and the knife wound on his thigh hurt like a bastard. Before getting in the shower, He had removed the bandages to have a closer look. While it was 3 inches long, the wound was thankfully not that deep. When they'd got back, Simone had insisted on cleaning it thoroughly. Gringo had popped a couple of painkillers, and the next thing he knew, it was after 3 a.m. He'd woken up on Bunny's sofa, a duvet over him, and every inch of his body in pain. It felt like he hadn't slept properly in an age. For weeks now, his nights had been filled with variations on a theme. Dreams where he was being dragged behind horses, a car, a juggernaut, and once, memorably, an elephant. All the time being dragged helplessly forward. You didn't need a doctorate in psychology to understand what was going on. The water started to turn cold, and Gringo realized he had used up the remaining contents of the tank. Bunny and Simone had already been in. They were downstairs cooking a fried breakfast. It was 3:30 in the morning, but Bunny had always been a firm believer in the all-day breakfast principle. Before hopping in the shower, Gringo had watched them for a little while. A silent negotiation had been taking place between them. Simone trying to show Bunny that she was fine, while Bunny tried to hide his aching need to protect her under a sheen of nonchalance. Given where they had started from, he wasn't sure if they had ever reached a state of normal before the roof had fallen in. Still, there was something there. It hurt a little to be around. Not that he wasn't happy as all hell for Bunny. He truly was. Gringo's own marriage had been an exercise in mistaking lust for love, and being around the real thing was painful. Like seeing sunlight after spending so long underground. Bunny had woken him with a cup of tea and an apology. He said he'd debated letting him sleep, but had reckoned rightly that Gringo would want to hear the news they had just received from Butch. Under the cover of a near riot, Carter and Doyle had disappeared off the grid. Gringo had checked his phone, on which he'd seen the text message he had been dreading. Feeling slightly more human after his shower, Gringo rebandaged his leg, dressed, and went downstairs. He could hear Simone in their bedroom, softly humming a melancholy tune.
"There he is, Sleeping Beauty," said Bunny,
working away industriously over the cooker, the aroma of frying meat filling the downstairs.
"Fresh as a newborn lamb.
Praise Jesus."
Gringo leaned against the counter and lowered his voice.
"So what do we do if someone comes looking for those guys?"
"Don't worry about it,"
said Bunny, inexpertly flipping a fried egg.
"Bunny?"
He turned to look at Gringo for the first time.
"I said, don't worry about it."
"Yeah, but..."
"Listen to me. Leave it alone, all right? If anyone comes looking for them, I will handle it. You won't dare. It has nothing to do with you."
Simone entered the kitchen, wafting a hand in front of her face.
"Damn! Is there any food in this house that didn't die screaming?"
"I certainly hope not,"
replied Bunny, giving her a wide grin.
"Yeah, because a bit of healthy living would kill you."
"I'll have you know, my granddad had the full Irish fried breakfast every day of his life. Never did him any harm."
"Really?" asked Simone. "Would that be the same granddad who died before you were born?"
Bunny shrugged.
"Maybe."
"Yeah. Nice try, buddy. You could also do with some more regular exercise."
"I'm game if you are."
"Bunny, mind your manners."
Simone flashed Gringo an embarrassed smile.
"So how are you feeling?"
"I live," replied Gringo.
"Not if you eat too many of his breakfasts, you won't."
"Well, I'm in luck there. I've got to go."
"What?"
said Bunny.
"Don't be daft. It's the middle of the night."
"I know, but I've got an early meeting about something."
"Please," said Simone, Stay. A good breakfast is the very least I owe you. If it helps, I've got some bran flakes stashed away.
Christ, said Bunny. Et tu, Brute?
Oh, shut up. You're going to start eating like a grown-up. End of story.
She's right, amigo. You need to keep yourself more regular. There's no telling what other weapons you might have stockpiled up there.
Ha ha, very funny.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. A look passed between Bunny and Simone. He turned from the cooker to address Gringo directly.
Look, if this is the cattle thing, we can get you out of it. Let me help. Just tell me.
Gringo raised his hand. It's not, and anyway, like I said, not your problem.
But
nothing. Gringo gave Simone a hug and threw a playful punch at Bunny's belly. Enjoy your breakfast in the middle of the night. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Gringo sat in his car and dialed the number.
Finally.
Something came up.
Well, I'm sorry to have to drag you away. What did he say?
Gringo glanced back towards Bunny's front door. Like I told you, he's not interested.
For Christ's sake, he knows too much.
It's fine.
No, it isn't.
He's not going to say anything, all right?
I am not putting my future in the hands of that.
You don't have to. Look, I have things on him. He has things on me. Call it mutually assured destruction. There was silence on the other end. Long enough that Gringo was tempted to see if the call was still connected.
Get over here now, and we will discuss this further. The clock is ticking.